Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Wednesday to you. Oh, hell yes, we got a lot of show for you. Let's get it. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, let's get right at this thing. Lots to get to. I've got three very good interviews, and they start next segment. But in the meantime, I'd love for you to get in. Anything you want to pick up on from yesterday, if you want to start afresh today, you want to look ahead to the weekend, I really don't even care what you do. Just make sure you come strong. That phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Hit me again, 1-800-636-8686. As an added bonus, not only could you get on the air and talk to me directly and about 8 billion people listening, you can have a one-on-one with Hawk before any of that happens. Because you do have to get through the EP, Adam Hawk, to get to me, to get to the 8 billion that are listening. So take your best shot. Follow me on Twitter or social at Jim Rome. And once again, I still have that email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveitake.com. The show sets up like this. Terry Stotts is the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. He is next segment. Bob Myers is the president of basketball ops and the GM for the Golden State Warriors. A jungle legend, top of hour number two. Right after that, Notre Dame head football coach, Brian Kelly. Not long thereafter, and I've got to find the segment for you, we have a beef segment. What's your beef? It's a Wednesday. Because it's a Wednesday, I've got a podcast episode to push out to. Jim Gray, legendary broadcaster, Emmy Award winner, Jim Gray, joins me. Author Jim Gray joins me on the podcast a little bit later on. So we've got ourselves a day. Not only that, but it's Wednesday. So you know what that means. It's time for some NFL football. Week 12 continues. But why don't we just call it what it is? Week 12 and a half, or like week 12-ish. I mean, I still can't believe that in just over 3 hours from right now, the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be kicking it off. And if that weren't crazy enough, a 3:40 p.m. Eastern, 12:40 p.m. PT, 10:40 a.m. HT, Hawaii time, kickoff. If that weren't wacky enough, consider the Ravens' starting quarterback situation. Lamar Jackson is out with COVID. That means they've got to go with their backup in a huge December game against their rivals, and their backup is none other than Robert Griffin III, RG3. Freaking RG3 is starting a game in 2020 on a Wednesday afternoon. I mean, that makes no sense. That makes no sense, and that makes all the sense in the world at the same time. I mean, playing an NFL game on a Wednesday afternoon is insane. But why don't we really get crazy with it? No sense in half-assing it. To quote my good friend Ed Milet, let's just max out with it. What's the point of having a normal Wednesday afternoon NFL game? You may as well lean the bleep into it. If you're going to have a Wednesday afternoon NFL game, you sure as hell better have RG bleeping 3 start that game. Now, if I had told you 9 years ago when RG3 was winning the Heisman that he would be an NFL starter in 2020, you would have said, of course, because that guy was electric. That guy was absolutely unstoppable. If I had told you 8 years ago that RG3 would be an NFL starter in 2020, you would have said, of course, because he was even more electric. He was even more unstoppable. He was a Pro Bowler and an Offensive Rookie of the Year. Let me repeat that part. He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year in a rookie class that included Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson. That's how good. That's how unstoppable. That's how electric that guy was. He didn't just beat defenses, he humiliated them. He was an absolute rock star. This guy was a unicorn. He was just as likely to throw a touchdown pass that went 68 yards in the air as he was to break off a 76-yard TD run. He even had his own viral moment. Remember Griffining? Do you remember that? It came from a game against the Saints where he completed a pass to Pierre Garçon, a short pass. Griffin was knocked down. He was sitting on the ground, holding his arms up as Pierre scored. That's how iconic this guy was. Just sitting on the ground, holding his arms up, and suddenly people all over the country were doing that very same thing and taking pictures of themselves. Remember that? Washington won 7 straight games to close out the regular season, and they made the postseason. And this guy pretty much was the biggest thing in the world. Remember it. And then, almost as quickly, it all fell apart. And by it all, I mean it all. Everything. Not just the season, but everything about RG3. This guy went from being the coolest guy on the planet to the weirdest guy on the planet. Allegedly. Remember late in the season, he injured his knee against Baltimore, but he played a few more downs, even though it was clear that he was busted up. Then in the playoff game against Seattle, his knee was destroyed. And from there, everything went straight to hell. Remember that report that he called a meeting with head coach Mike Shanahan, offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan, and quarterbacks coach Matt LaFleur. He reportedly wrote on the board the following items on a board. This is incredible. Remember this? He wrote for those coaches, 1, change things. 2, change our protections. 3, unacceptable. 4, bottom line. And then asked to speak without being interrupted. And according to Jason Reed, quote, rolled through a list of grievances, stressing that substantive changes had to occur immediately. Scrap the pass protection scheme and start over, Griffin demanded. There were 19 plays, primarily those from the 50 series, and quarterback draws that were unacceptable, end quote. Hey, listen, I'm not saying that a franchise quarterback should not play an active role in determining the course of the offense and the course of his career. But that's quite a crew that he is lecturing about, quote, change things, quote, unacceptable, and quote, bottom line. I mean, that truly takes an amazing set of brass nad to get up on a chalkboard and scratch all of that out to all of those coaches. I mean, like, more amazing than anything that guy ever did on the field, if you ask me. Not only was he lecturing and talking down to his coaches, but he was doing it to a guy with 2 rings. He was doing it to another guy who went on to change and revolutionize offenses in the NFL. And he was doing it to yet another guy who would go on to the NFC Championship game in his very first season as a coach. All while giving off this vibe of sit the hell down, shut the hell up. I tried doing it your way. Now we're doing it my way. It's absolutely incredible. And then the following season, there was yet another incredible report from Mike Silver that Griffin was not happy with the criticism that he was getting from Mike Shanahan. And quote, at Baylor, they didn't put up RG3's bad plays up on the board in the meeting rooms. Sources familiar with the situation say they've asked the Redskins to do the same, but they've refused to this point, end quote. Again, absolutely legendary. I mean, what an outstanding statement. Instead of showing the things I did wrong, how about you show all the things that I did right? That was in 2013. And this is how that went down on this particular show. Gentlemen, this is your quarterback speaking. It is my pleasure to present and your honor to witness the following presentation. Sit back, relax, enjoy your franchise player at work. I present the Washington Redskins versus the Minnesota Vikings in its entirety. Let's get it on.
Y'all ready for this? Robert under center. Turns, play action fake. He's got time. Over the middle. It is caught. Hackerson into Minnesota territory to the 40. Big play by the Skins passing game. Robert back to pass. Looking. Pumps. Goes to the end zone at the 2. Pump by Reed. And it's a touchdown as he dives in. Great patience by RG3. Robert takes the snap. He's going to keep it on the keeper across the 50 to the 45. RG3 gets a first down. Robert under center, I formation. He's going to play action fake it. Running out of time, goes end zone. Oh, touchdown! Touchdown, Redskins, Logan Paulson.
And that's the game, fellas. Another 158-3 for me. See y'all next week. Bob, didn't we lose that game? Y'all did, maybe. Not me. The tape speaks for itself. I'm pretty pleased with myself. It's me popping a tongue on my mic. Yeah, hearing that now, it's even more absurd than it was at that time. And at that time, that's about the most ridiculous thing ever. At every turn, it went from bad to worse to completely and totally embarrassing. This guy went from cool to corny. Corny as hell. He left Washington, he went to Cleveland, then he came to Baltimore. And now that guy is starting an NFL game in 2020 on a Wednesday afternoon at 12:40 my time. And it's an important game for a team battling for a playoff spot. And even more insane is who he's going to be playing with. First off, he has not played with a team, or he is playing with a team that has not practiced since November 22nd. They've got 16 players on the COVID list, including six Pro Bowlers. And more specifically, Baltimore had been hoping that Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins would be able to play in that game. They're coming off the COVID list, and the hope had been that they'd be coming off the list today, and they would fly to Pittsburgh separately. But according to reports this morning, they are not expected to play. So it looks like it's going to be Gus Edwards and Justice Hill at running back. As for wide receivers, he's going to throw to a group which includes Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin, and Dez Bryant. RG3 throwing to Dez Bryant in 2020. The writing room that came up with that plot twist really outdid themselves. I mean, saying something is the most 2020 thing ever has become the most 2020 thing ever. But RG3 throwing it to Dez Bryant on a Wednesday afternoon at 12:40 really is the most 2020 thing ever. And if I had said to you in 2012 that RG3 would be throwing it to Dez Bryant, you'd be saying, yeah, how many Super Bowl rings do those guys have? Because RG3 was the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Dez had nearly 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns that year. Then you'd be thinking these guys had so many rings, they could use them as brass knuckles and break faces. Instead, one guy is making his second start since 2016, and the other guy's playing in his third game since 2017. RG3 to Dez Bryant. What, they didn't want to line up Miles Austin on the other side? Maybe drop Alvin Harper into the slot? RG3, man, I can't wait. The stones on RG3. This guy, man, you know what that'd be like? That would be like me gearing up for my NFL Today hit and the legend, Drew Kalisky, giving me my assignment and telling me what he wants me to rant on. And then I tell him what my rants are, and he sends me back a few notes and thoughts, and I look them over briefly. I shake my head, and then I hit reply with, unacceptable. Like, you guys have been doing this show 4 years and killing it, but there needs to be substantive changes immediately. Number one, my 3-minute views from Rome need to be 30 minutes. Number two, in fact, the whole show going forward shall just be called Rome. Number three, instead of superstar JB throwing it to me, I am going to intro myself. I will then ask my own questions and then answer them myself. Four, scrap the other segments with legends like Bill Cowher and Boomer. Start over. Five, do we really even need to play the games? Just have more Rome. The end. Bottom line.
Bobby Ramos, bottom line.
Man, I can't wait to watch RG3 today. I cannot wait. I can't wait, and then I can't wait to see what he writes on John Harbaugh's chalkboard after they lose. RG3. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get some quick reaction for you. Hey, Rome. Nothing weird about RG3 starting a football game in 2020. Regards, people who still use movie phone. Stephen PHX wore RG3 double-checking all the screws in his knee braces. Yeah, Chris in St. Pete tweets, the last time RG3 was relevant, Gangnam Style was still sitting atop the charts. Pretty much. Lots to get to. Much, much more where that came from. But I want to start the interview portion of the program. I've got Terry Stotts coming up next. I've got Bob Myers coming up at the top of the hour. I have Brian Kelly coming up next hour. I've got a beef segment coming up a little bit later on. Dell Technologies just announced their Cyber Monday sale. They are releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There is no better time than to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there is free shipping on everything. Yes, I said everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call, and they will identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL, or go to dell.com/SBCyberMonday. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so I mentioned we got a huge day for you. I've got the president of basketball operations and the general manager of the Golden State Warriors, Bob Myers, coming up the top of hour number two. I've got the head football coach at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, coming up in hour number two. But right now, I've got the head basketball coach of the Portland Trail Blazers entering his ninth season as Blazers head coach. The only current NBA coach to win Coach of the Month at least once in each of the last six seasons, led Portland to the playoffs each of the last 7 years, including a trip to the conference finals. Portland is going to open up the preseason against Sacramento on December 11th. If you can believe that, my guest is Terry Stotts. Terry, it's great to have you back. Terry, before we get into the offseason, the preseason, everything else that's going on, bring me up to date. How are you doing? How is your life right now?
Well, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jim. We're probably like everybody else. We're managing getting through the pandemic and trying to stay safe and at the same time get some work done.
You know, I would imagine so. Let me ask you this. When you look back on your time in Florida, you made the playoffs, you battled with the Lakers, just the overall bubble experience, what kind of thoughts and memories do you have as you look back on last year?
Well, I was really proud of our team in what we were able to accomplish in the bubble. Our chances of making the playoffs when we got there were very small. But we went there committed. We knew we'd have to go at least 6-2 just to get into the play-in game. We did that, and I was really proud of the focus and the commitment that our players had. On a grander scale, I was really proud to be a part of what the NBA did. Think about when that was in June and July when they were putting together the bubble, and there were so many question marks about what it was going to be, how it was going to be. And the NBA did a remarkable job. And when I say NBA, I mean the league office, all the players, coaches, management, everything that went in, Disney, all those things that went into making it a successful bubble from a health standpoint. And going into it, I felt like, as important as it was for our team, it was really important in some ways to our country to show that we could do something and keep people healthy and still put on a quality basketball experience for the fans on television.
Terry Stotts joining us. I agree with you, Terry. Like, at that time, I thought it was amazing that the league was able to pull that off. But looking back on it now, it seems like it's even more amazing. At the same time, I don't know about you, I'm having a pretty hard time wrapping my head around some of these dates. For example, you're going to open up the preseason against Sacramento on December 11th. That's next Friday. Like, how is that even possible? And what's the preseason going to be like?
Well, it's really going to be interesting because of the lack of preparation, both from a team standpoint and from an individual standpoint. You know, ordinarily we have more preparation time. We're going to go into it and have a regular season game probably within 2.5 weeks of starting camp. So, and the players have not had the opportunity to be at the same conditioning they would be in a normal September, October, going into a season. So the preparation from a coaching standpoint is going to be a challenge. I think managing players' conditioning and just their physical preparation so that injuries become less likely. I think we'll still have some injuries like you see in football, but it's a different world. And the fact that this is happening in December as opposed to September, October is different as well.
Terry Stotts is joining us. You know, when you talk about the players and their approach, Terry, I thought Damian Lillard made a really, really interesting point. He said, quote, 1977 has been a long time. I want to be a part of that. I get up every morning. I train my ass off. I take care of my body. You know, I don't live a wild life. And a lot of the steps I take in my life is so I can come out here and be my best and play at the highest level so I can win a championship for this organization and this city. End quote. Obviously, when you talk about Dame, there's no surprise that that's the way he's thinking about things. But how valuable is that for you as a head coach to have a leader like Dame who has that mindset and sets that tone for everybody else?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm very fortunate to have not only a player of Dame's talent, but his leadership. And I've said this many times, when you look through the history, I'm a big history buff of the NBA, but when your best player is your best leader and you can go, whether it's Magic Johnson or Tim Duncan or LeBron or whoever, the successful franchise, those exceptional players are also your best leaders. And we're fortunate here in Seattle to have Dame. And look, Dame turned 30, and we have a window, and nothing would make everybody more happy than to win a championship during his tenure here in Portland, because he's been a great leader. He's been a great foundation of the franchise and the city. The city adores him now, but if we deliver a championship, it would be even more so. It would be legendary.
Well, no doubt. Terry Stotts joining us. So in terms of that, Dame also said that the two teams that he's been on, the 2014-15 team and the 2019 team that went to the conference finals, were the ones that he felt were closest to a title. I understand this is a really unusual year, and it's obviously early. Does this group that you have, on paper anyway, this roster, how would this group compare to the two groups that he mentioned?
Well, I think they compare favorably, but that's why you play a season. You know, the season, the first season they talked about, 14-15, it's amazing how much the game has changed in that short amount of time. It was a big physical team, LaMarcus Aldridge, Robin Lopez, Nick Batum at three. You know, it was a big physical team. Later on, the game has evolved. We had Mo Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu at wings, Evan Turner. So is more perimeter team, more perimeter scoring. But I think this team has a chance to compare with them. I like the continuity that we have. We've got nine guys coming back from the team last year. We added some good length, defensive length on the perimeter with Robert Covington and Derrick Jones Jr. I think we are better equipped in today's game to be better defensively, which is where our improvement has to come, obviously.
Talking to Terry Stotts, really quickly, Terry, there was a very busy offseason, in fact. You made a number of moves. I can't even get to all of them, but Carmelo Anthony did re-sign in the offseason. You and I have talked about what he's meant in terms of production and leadership. How pleased are you to have him back?
Well, I told him before he signed with us how important it was. We needed him. You know, getting Robert Covington and Derrick Jones Jr. was really good, one in a trade and one free agency, and getting Rodney Hood back. But we, with Zach Collins being out, we had a glaring hole at the four spot, and we needed him to be on this team to be competitive. What he did last year for us was exceptional, and whether his role is the same this year as it was last year, he's going to be an integral part of the success that we have this year. And I basically told him that before he signed with us.
In terms of Covington, he's an excellent and versatile defender. And then you've got Derrick Jones Jr., who really gets after it on defense as well. So what's that mean to the overall identity of the team, especially on the defensive end?
Well, it's going to change, certainly. And in some ways, it's along the lines of our Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu model, where we had length at 3 and 4. And I think the way the league is going with more perimeter-oriented and being better on the perimeter is important. We started the season last year with 5 7-footers. Nurk was hurt, but then we had Pau Gasol, Hassan Whiteside, Zach Collins, and Scalabissiere. So with injuries, we're down to one. By the time December got there, we were down to 1 7-footer. So it changes how we approach the defensive end. And I think, like I said, I think we're better equipped to be a better defensive team than we were last year.
So finally, since you mentioned Nurk, he averaged a double-double with 4 assists per game in the bubble. How pleased were you with the way he responded and the way he played in Florida coming off that leg injury?
Well, one of the benefits for us was Nurk was scheduled to come back right when the league was shut down in March. And that extra time, so March, April, May, June, all the way to July, gave him an extra 3 or 4 months to get used to the idea of playing competitive basketball, whereas if he had come back in March, he might have been a little bit more tentative. We might have been a little bit more restrictive with how many minutes he played. But by the time he got to the bubble, he was able to play at full strength. And as I mentioned, when we were in Orlando, both he and Zach Collins coming off of those injuries and surgeries didn't show any look of rust or anything from missing that much basketball.
I think you're right, Terry. You guys got there, and the chances of advancing were minimal, and the team got after it and played great, great basketball. He is entering his ninth season as the Blazers head coach, and hard to imagine, but they're going to turn around and run it right back. The preseason opens up against Sacramento for Portland on December 11th. We just covered a lot of ground. Terry, great to have you back. Good to hear your voice. Thanks so much, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Stay safe.
You too. Stay safe. Terry Stotts, head coach, Blazers. I need not say it, but I will. Great jungle team. Got a lot of karma. Lots of karma. All right, so let me reset you very quickly before I get you to break. It's a beef day. What is your beef?
Is this the beef jerky segment?
Not yet, Rex. Not yet, but it will be. That's coming up a little bit later on. Generally in hour number two. Bob Myers at the top of the hour. So that's exactly 30 minutes from right now. Brian Kelly is the head football coach at Notre Dame. We will have him at 20 past hour number two. And again, there is going to be an NFL game in just a few hours. 12:40 kick Pacific time. 10:40 kick HT. And RG3 is going to start. And one of the guys he'll be throwing it to is Dez Bryant.
No pressure. No
weird. Problems. Now, I know you're all here for a good conspiracy theory. How about that conspiracy theory which says that Michigan would opt out of its game against Ohio State and would do so, according to the conspiracy theory, for two reasons. One, to avoid another humiliating ass-kicking. And two, to jam Ohio State, who won't get the requisite 6 games that they need to play in the conference championship, which might hurt them in the college football playoff. Do you buy that? I want to get into all that. There is a Jay Cutler update. A Cuddy update's always a good thing. That's coming up a little bit later on, too. Quick timeout for you. Let's get to the bottom of the hour so I can get you a sports update. We have arrived. Here it is. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
In addition to everything we're doing on this Wednesday, as you know, is also an Ask the Pros Day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question there, and then think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hey, Rome, not to be that guy, but are Terry Stotts and Dame Lillard still doing that thing that Stotts talked about last time he was on? Thanks. Aaron in Beacon Hill. Which thing, Aaron? How would you describe the mindset of your team right now?
You know, to me, it's typical Dame. You know, he's very focused, very single-minded in his profession. And we've had great success in the second half of the season primarily because of him and his mindset.
Hey, Aaron. We all misspeak, man. Don't you let that go. He did. I do. You have. Come on, man.
No.
I'm good, Albie. I'm good. Hey, idiot. It's an NBA head coach who grants me lots of access. Don't be doing things like that. Hey, and Alvin, you're not helping him, man. You're hurting him. In fact, go ahead and just lose that from the sound library. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your library because it is your library, but lose that from your library. He misspoke. That'll happen. This reads, Dear Jim, Rit V. Adam Hawk, regards, Rit V. Adam Hawk, Brett in Bugahawk.
Rit V. Adam Hawk, what's the money line? Rit V. Adam Hawk, low GPA, what for me some J? Alvin drop the squawk, I'm Adam Hawk. Rit V. Adam Hawk, low GPA, what for me some J? Alvin drop the squawk.
I wasn't going to reset it, but it probably was inevitable that the worst jungle song ever submitted by a listener was going to jump today.
Inevitable.
Thousands, literally thousands have tweeted that Mission Impossible has been ruined forever because of Bernard and that song. Congratulations, Burn Dog. That's not easy to do. You ruined one of the greatest franchises ever. Do you know how hard you have to work or how bad you have to be at something to ruin something that awesome? Thank you very little, Burn Dog. You ruined one of our, when I say our, I mean the masses, one of our favorite things ever. Thanks, Burn Dog. All right, so let me change up on you. You have your telephone number, you know where to find me elsewhere on social. But it's been 4 days now since Matt Patricia got run in Detroit. 4 days, but it had been 87 days since the Twitter account at Eddie P. Lions fan posted anything on social. That is, until Eddie P. broke that sabbatical this past Monday. Now, what the hell do Fat Matt Pat and at Eddie P. Lions fan have to do with one another? Nothing. Nothing. And I mentioned a conspiracy theory about Michigan earlier. This is a different conspiracy theory. Nothing except for the conspiracy theory that Fat Matt Pat and Eddie P. Lions fan might actually be one and the same. That they might be each other. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Burnergate 2020. Not to be confused with Burnergate 2019, which was Kevin Durant, allegedly. Not to be confused with Burnergate 2018, which was Brian Colangelo, also allegedly. Burnergate 2020 is a brand new theory that Fat Matt Pat might, in fact, have a burner account on Twitter called at Eddie P. Lions fan. The account in question has been dormant since the start of the season, but just started recently tweeting once again 2 days after Patricia was fired. So the timeline would leave you to think that if indeed it is Matt Pat behind that keyboard, he apparently did not do any tweeting during the football season. Not while he was still gainfully employed. But the second he got run, all of a sudden they fire up the keyboard once again. So, what else is making people think that at Eddie P. Lions fan might also be Fat Matt Pat? Well, every single tweet from Eddie P. is in staunch defense of Matt Patricia. And that tends to stick out, right? When absolutely nobody else on planet Earth is going to bat for a 13-29-1 coach who took a playoff team and ran it into the ground. And the same guy who scolded reporters, impressors, and pissed off a bunch of players along the way. Remember, fans and players alike celebrated publicly when this guy got canned. Remember, free agents back in 2018 even poured champagne when their time with Patricia was over. So anybody defending Matt Pat is going to get noticed, especially when it's only one person. Because nobody can say anything in defense of this guy. What's more, and if you need more, Matt Patricia's middle name is Edward. So you've got Eddie P, the handle, taking up for Matthew Eddie P, the coach. And it gets worse, or better, depending on your point of view. At Eddie P, Lions fan, describes himself in his bio as a, quote, dad of three and a tech nerd. Matt Patricia is also a dad of three and a tech nerd who studied rocket science in college. At Eddie P. Lions fan follows 77 accounts. All 77 accounts belong to football news sources, the Detroit Lions players, and wait for it now, the New England Patriots. Tweets from Eddie P. include, quote, Coach Patricia did what he could with the roster Quinn gave him. Bob Quinn was the problem, end quote. Also, quote, Coach Patricia accomplished more than you ever have or will. If the Lions organization had listened to him, everything would be different, end quote. And then my personal favorite, quote, the Lions would be better off moving on because Stanford is uncoachable, end quote. And you heard me correctly. Dude just misspelled Stafford as Stanford and called him uncoachable.
That's unbelievable.
So to recap, you've got a handle with Matt Patricia's middle name and last initial that did not tweet during the football season, who claims to be a tech nerd and a father of three, and is out here defending the indefensible, calling Bob Quinn the problem, and saying that Stanford is uncoachable. Never mind that Stanford throws for like 5,000 yards every single season. So now it'd be really easy and even really fun to connect the dots and say that at Eddie P. Lions fan is Matt Patricia, and that Fat Matt Pat has got nothing better to do, and that he actually has skin so thin that he would do something like that. Man, that'd be so great. But the dots are comically large and in a very, very straight line in order to do that. In fact, way too straight. In other words, the whole thing is way, 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 way too obvious to actually be real. Now, the internet will disagree because the internet is full of morons, and the internet will believe what the internet wants to believe. And if the internet believes hard enough, they can make anything true. But ask yourself this. Would an actual rocket scientist create an account with their middle name and last initial and give their real bio and start thumbing out all sorts of BS about how great they are on a public platform for everybody to see to try to change the narrative? I mean, this guy might be a terrible head coach, but he's not that stupid. He may not be a rocket scientist, but he's not that dumb, because nobody is. And whatever troll pulled off this ruse of the week is getting over big time right now, because actual, legitimate blogs are actually playing along. Like, the biggest misdirection that this alleged burner account threw out was laying out from Twitter during the season and waiting until Fat Matt Pat actually got fired to start tweeting once again. But that's not even that long or that hard of a long con, because the con wasn't even that long to begin with. 3 months of sitting around and waiting for the inevitable. How hard is that? That's not that hard nor that long of a con. And then reappearing with the perfect timing to make it look like Patricia had put his phone down while still employed. Don't get me wrong. Like, I badly want it to be so. I just know that it can't be so. However, if for some reason it is so, and I know it can't be, but if it is, then Matt Patricia really is not only not a rocket scientist, but one of the dumbest guys ever. And if that's the case, why not just tweet from a verified blue check account? Because going by at Eddie P. Lions fan with your real bio and pimping yourself is barely one step below that. It's a funny joke. It's kind of a funny play and a funny joke, but it's a joke nonetheless. As much as I would love for that to be true. Imagine Fat Matt Pat pulling out the phone, maybe the Galaxy, whatever he's got. Maybe his flip phone. He's got that pencil behind his ear. Man, I wonder what kind of handle I should go with. How about at Fat Eddie P? This is how much time the internet has on its hands to find something like that. But they did get a few people to go along. How about you, Rome? You're talking about it. I am. I'm not buying it. That said, I wish it were true. How great would that be? And somebody get an IP address. Somebody find out whether or not it is. I know it's not. I just want it badly to be. That'd be so awesome. Hey, listen, it's not like people don't have burner accounts. It happens. I just don't think that alleged rocket scientist is one of them. I know a guy who could find out. I'm not going to say who he is because he is so stealth. We have a guy that we have a relationship with that finds things like that out. My man BG. BG could find out. BG could find out in 1 minute. Should have thought of that before I took all that time to lay that out. BG would know. Speaking of burner accounts, Kevin Durant was at it again. And if Kevin Durant was at it again, you know what I'm talking about. Bristling about some media report that he thinks is not true.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Man, if it's even possible, my man's skin gets thinner and thinner and thinner. There's nothing that he won't respond to. When we come back, one of his former bosses will be joining us. Bob Myers, president of basketball ops and the GM of the Golden State Warriors, joins us. That's coming up next segment. Then I've got Brian Kelly. Then I've got the beef segment. And then we are wide open in hour number three, so do not go anywhere.